Awesome. Sweet presence this morning. I want to talk this morning about the breath of God. Before I get into that, I want to share something. It was really burdened on my heart for about 2 hours yesterday. It's just really heavy. I feel like I'm supposed to share it this morning. I'm not even going to preface it or anything. I'm just going to share what I felt the Lord was telling me. When you're seeking to defend, promote, or champion your own reputation over against your relationships, you risk losing both your reputation and your relationship. But if you seek to defend, promote, and champion your relationships over against your reputation and your relationships will both thrive. So that's all I'm going to say. You can get the podcast and write it down if you want to. But I really felt strongly about that. All right, the breath of God. I want to talk about that. So get your Bibles out, your sword, the scriptures. We're going to dive into a bunch of stuff this morning. Let's pray. Lord, prepare our hearts as you already have been this morning through the praise and the worship. Open our eyes so that we can see you. Open our ears so we can hear you. And open our hearts so we can know you. Amen. I really feel strongly about this message, this teaching that I'm carrying this morning about the breath of God. I taught a little bit about it on Wednesday night for the midweek, and it was amazing how God began to download more and more as the night went on and as we just began to worship. We actually worshiped together on Wednesday. It was amazing. Midweek is awesome. Please come out. But there's so many different aspects of the breath of God. The scriptures tell us a lot about God's breath, even beginning in Genesis chapter 1, where he spoke things into creation. He spoke things into being with the very breath of his words, with the very words that he breathed out. So I want to start by asking you question. How many times have you felt like God was a million miles away, and then in an instant, he's closer than the very breath that you breathe, even closer than the very breath that he breathes? That's perspective, because you can feel like you're a million miles away, but it's not about how you feel. He's always closer than the breath that you breathe. He's always closer than the very breath that he breathes. So, one of the aspects of God's breath, the breath of God, is the life-giving breath of God, where he speaks things into creation. He speaks things into life. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and useful for teaching, reproving, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work." 2 Timothy 3:16. Even the very words that man, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, wrote out, etched out with ink and parchment, even the words that man spoke were breathed out by God. Even the breath of God that gives life breathes out life. Psalm 33:4, starting in 4, it says, "For the work of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. By the breath of God, creation came into being. By the very word of his mouth, he creates life. The breath of God created Adam. Job actually talks a lot about the breath of God. Did you know that Job was likely one of the first books ever written? Even before Genesis. It was one of the first, you know, written out, cataloged message, testimony written to mankind. And in Job, one of the scriptures about the breath of God says, but it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. The breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. I love that. So poetic, so beautiful. We all know this really well. Let's open to Ezekiel 37 and either read along. This what I'm teaching this morning is very visual, so feel free to just close your eyes and visualize what's happening. This is beautiful. Ezekiel 37 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and sent me down into the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and to cover your skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together. A rattling, and the bones came together. Bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinew on them, and flesh came upon flesh, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. The breath of God breathes life. So just visualize this. Just close your eyes and visualize this. Can you just see in Acts 1:8? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God was moving, hovering over the surface of the waters. Not that the Spirit of God is the breath of God, but that at the very word of God, by the breath that he exhales to make the cords of his voice and the tongue of his mouth and the lips of his face make syllables come together to make words to create, his spirit moves at the very breath of his perfect will. Life follows. Wisdom and understanding come from his breath. Breathe on those slain that they may live. Just visualize this. Can you see in Acts 2? There came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the house that they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, the breath of God changing the atmosphere. A wind from heaven as a violent rushing wind, changing the atmosphere. His breath brings life. His breath brings wisdom and understanding. His breath causes us to live by his very breath. Let me tell you another aspect of the breath of God. The destructive breath of God. The destructive yet saving breath of God. I read a lot about the breath of God in a very grim way. Exodus 15, this is the song of Moses and Miriam. Exodus 15, I believe it starts in, I'm going to read starting in 7. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries, and you send out fury, and it consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up, and the floods stood up in a heap, and deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue and I will overtake and I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them and I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind. The sea covered them and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? Awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. You stretched out your hand and the earth was swallowed them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. He blows with his wind. The very breath of God, destructive, yet saving. Job 4:8 starts and says, as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same, by the breath of God they perish. By the blast of his anger, they are consumed. And Job also talks about the blast of his nostrils. The breath of God destroys. The breath of God burns up, takes away the enemy, the adversaries. And we know this one really well too, Isaiah 11. You can turn in there. You can just visualize it with me. You just come into this poetic visualization of the breath of God. Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. We know that one. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of God shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Are you seeing this with me? The powerful breath of God, the breath of God that breathes life, the breath of God that breathes destruction for the sake of his children, for the saving grace of his children. So as the breath of God gives life and also takes away the enemy, destroys the enemy, I want to talk about how he sits enthroned, dwelling on the praises of his people. So even the very breath of God that gives life to us, as we, his children, exhale, cause that breath to go out, he sits enthroned on those praises. You see the beauty in that? Psalm 22:3 is where that comes from. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of your people. The King James says, thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The Darby translation says, thou art holy, thou that dwellest amid the praises of Israel. He dwells, he enthrones, he inhabits the praises of his people. He longs to just sit and ride on the praises of his people. That's why worship is so powerful. That's why when we release the sound of praise, that there's power in it. Not just power because the breath of God gives us life and indwells within us, like I talked about earlier, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal bodies within us. And as we release breath of praise, he inhabits and dwells on the praises of his people. Isn't it beautiful? Not only does God give the breath of life, and not only does wisdom and understanding come from his very breath, but after his breath is in us, it quickens us, makes us alive, and we turn and release the very praises that he inhabits. Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. And in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them, and they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. The power of Jesus within us, the power of God, Christ, the hope of glory, inside of us. I just want to talk about the power of God within us. I talked about it earlier, about how we don't just get a soft, comfortable Jesus. We get all, Michael started singing, not you can take it all, you can take it all, but you started singing, you give it all, you give it all, you give us Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? You give it all, you give it all, you give us Jesus. That's why we surrender all. That's why we lay everything. That's why we can so in a place of intimacy and true worship and authentic praise, an authentic lifestyle, we know we can lay everything down. Because when he gives us Jesus, he gives us all that we need. He gives us all that will satisfy us. He gives us all that will quench every thirst and every hunger and every ache that we have. He satisfies it. John 14, starting in 12, Jesus says, this is after, I don't know if it's after the resurrection, or he says, it doesn't matter. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He's talking about us coming into alignment with the good and perfect will of God. He's talking about greater works shall we do because he is in us. He's going to the Father. He went to the Father so that, you know, he says, John 15, he says, I'm going away so that you can have the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell within you. The very power of Jesus. He did what he did, and he went back to the Father so that we could have that within us, dwelling within us. The power of God dwelling within us, dwelling in our temple, in our bodies, in our life, in our spirit, in our heart. He dwells within us, and he dwells on the praises of his people, and he breathes life into the children of God. You see this circular effect that's happening. The breath of God coming in, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us, the power of Christ Jesus, the same power that raised him from the dead will quicken our mortal body. And then we breathe out praise, and he inhabits and dwells in the praises of his people. Are you seeing the beauty of the breath of God yet? The very breath of God, life-giving, destroying the enemy on our behalf. Isn't that what Christ Jesus did at the cross? Didn't he destroy the enemy by his very life, the breath of God in him, fully God but fully man, able to overcome temptation? And if the same power that Jesus had to overcome temptation was in him and Christ in us, the hope of glory, don't we have the same power to overcome temptation? And if the same power to heal the sick and cast out demons was in Jesus, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, within us, residing, dwelling in our temple, don't we have the same power to lay hands on the sick, that they can be healed, to cast out demons? Amen? And if the power to overcome yourself was in Jesus, so many times Jesus went away to pray. He went to the garden, or he removed himself to go and pray. That's overcoming self. It's not necessarily overcoming temptation, overcoming sin, or doing anything seemingly majestic, but it's overcoming the weariness, the tiredness, the sleep, the busyness, the distractions. And if that same power to overcome self was in Jesus, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, is in us, that same power to overcome ourselves is in us. Isn't it? James talks about the power of life and death. What does James say about the power of life and death? And it's in the tongue. If the power of life and death is in your tongue, then there's power in your mouths that can change things around you. Not just conversations, but your praise can speak life. Even your praise, because he inhabits those praises, speaks life. There's power even in your tongue. Not just because of what God has done for us and through us and dwelled within us to release what can come out of that. But even he says the power of life and death is in your tongue. So you can speak things that can destroy. You can speak things that can bring death. Or you can speak things that can bring life. And isn't it when we praise him and exalt his name and glorify him and magnify him and lift his name up high so that all men can be drawn unto him, that he inhabits those very praises? If your tongue is like the rudder of a ship, small but able to direct something so large, then your tongue through your praise can shift not just you, but the atmosphere around you. Something so much bigger than who you are. And if God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think, then open your mouth and start to praise him, because there's power in your tongue, and there is power in the name of Jesus that dwells in you, and there is power in the indwelling of God when he's in your praise. Do you see what I'm saying? If God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask, think, or imagine, then just open up your mouth and praise him and watch it happen. Don't just sit around and ask him, God, do something. I'm sitting here, do something. Get up off your tail and start to praise him and watch him change the atmosphere around you. And breathe in the breath of life and let it indwell in you. Let it stir up. Let it stew a little bit. Come on, let it marinate in your spirit. Let it marinate in your heart, and with the power of your tongue, release life, and he will indwell on the praises of his people. Come on, let's worship, Michael. Come on, let's just stand up to your feet right now. That's really all I got for you. Deuteronomy 33:26 says, there is no one like the God of Israel who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majestic splendor. Psalm 22 says, he is holy and sits enthroned on the praises of his people. Can you see the God of Israel riding on the clouds to help you? Can you see the God of Israel in his majesty and splendor in the clouds, ready to rescue? Can you breathe in the breath of God, the rescuing breath of God that indwells within you, and let it sit up in your spirit, and let it dwell in your heart, and let it stir you up to love and good works, and release the praise that he inhabits. Come on, let's praise him. Just lift up your voice right now. Just lift up your voice. Come on, praise him. He inhabits the praises of his people. Let it stir you up. He inhabits the praises of his people. Glorify him now.
Glorify your name above the heaven. We exalt your name. We glorify your name above the heaven.
Yeah. Come on. Breathe out the praises of the King.
We exalt your name.
Breathe out the praises of the King.
We glorify your name above.
Breathe out the worship of the Father. Breathe out with your very breath that he has given you. Exalt his name and glorify
above the heaven.
Open your mouth and change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere.
Exalt your name.
Glorify.
We glorify your name above the heaven.
Release it. Release it. Release your praise in this place. Let me share something else. Let me share something else with you. Thankfulness breaks the bonds of negativity, loneliness, hurt, and frustration. Set your heart on thanksgiving and watch the crumbling down of your negativity, your unhappiness, and your complacency. Set your heart on his praises, and the weapon of your outward praise will slay those enemy thoughts of shame and condemnation. Amen. Come on, set your heart on the praises of the King. Set your heart on thanksgiving and watch the crumbling walls of complacency come down. Watch the crumbling walls of negativity in your life come down when you release the praise, when you release the thanksgiving, when you release that from within you. Come on, and maybe you can't release it from here yet. Maybe you can release it from your head and you can't release it quite from your belly, from deep within you. Maybe you don't have the gratitude down here. Just pretend until you get it. Just start saying words until you believe it. Just start thanking him right now, and all of a sudden it'll go from here to the depths of you, and you'll see an authentic praise in you that you've never seen before. You want to see something shift? Just begin to thank him. Just begin to praise him. So even right now, as we capture that, as we grab hold of that, just begin to thank him where you are. It can sound like a song. It can just be phrases, fragments of a sentence. It can be words. Just thank him. Come on. Thank him for your children.
It's a song. If you'll just naturally breathe, it sounds like this. Yahweh. Yahweh. So you can say Yahweh. Just breathe in, God, and breathe out. Yahweh.
Come on, breathe him in and breathe him out. Just release your thanksgiving. Count your blessings, as they say. Breathe in the very breath of God and release his praise. Maybe you're finding a hard thing to be thankful about. Come on, thank him for your feet. F.W. Borum was an amazing theologian. The late 1800s, early 1900s, wrote lots of books. Actually, when he was an infant, he was being nursed in a park, and a gypsy crone came up to the baby and picked up the little baby's hand and said, "You put a pen in his hand and he'll never want in his life." He was a great author, great man of God. His foot was chopped off in a train accident when he was 15. Be thankful for your feet. Be thankful for your hands. Be thankful for your strength. As we pray for Bill Barber, I think he's in Texas now or Dallas. We're trying to get a hold of your mom, Jan. Be thankful for your strength, because there's those that don't have it.
I want to point out something that happened about 20 minutes ago. Matt was speaking, and he started to shake the pulpit. I don't know if y'all caught this. There are other things that are sitting on this pulpit.
Yeah. Let's let Michael.
Okay. And he was speaking of the breath. There's a shaking in the breath. And what I really feel like the Lord is saying this morning, in the shaking of the pulpits, the gavel will fall. I don't know if y'all caught it, but when he shook it, the one thing that fell off that thing was a gavel. In the shaking, the gavel will fall. Can we exalt his name?
We exalt your name. Glorify your name above the heavens.
One more time.
We exalt your name. We glorify your name above the heavens.
Hallelujah. Yes, God deserved the glory. As I was sitting there and beginning feeling that bubbling up of praise to the Almighty King, he deserved the glory. Sometimes we have to pass our pride and our arrogance, and we have to yield ourselves to the Almighty God. Do you realize who we're talking about? When we hold back our praises, we're holding back the glory, the honor that he deserved. He deserved the glory. He deserved the honor. I just encourage you all just to lift your hands up. Sometimes it may take just that. It is. A lot of times it takes just one step just to open your mouth. And I decree and declare over your lives right now that you will not hold back praises to the Almighty God. You would not dare hold back praises to him. He deserved the glory. He deserved the honor. He deserved the praise. The enemy wants you to hold back your praise. It's not about what you've done. It's not about how good you've been. It's about how good he's been. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We come to worship the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. God wants to break chains in his place. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants to bring you out of the gates of hell, of darkness. But if you hold back your praises, you can't come into that place. You can't allow him to come and let the King of Glory come in. He want to come in your heart. He want to come in your mind. He want to come in your spirit. He just want to come all over you. He want to love on you. And when you give him praise, and when you give him glory, and when you give him honor, things begin to change. Peace begins to come. Joy begins to come. Yes, it does. Give him the praise. And when someone like this man of God come up and tell us, as God told him to through his message to praise God, we need to obey. We need to obey. It shouldn't be dry. It should be joy in this place. And I decree and declare the spirit of joy as you praise God in the midst of this atmosphere. Because sometimes we may not get this atmosphere again in a while, but when the atmosphere is like this, it's fire in this place. And God wants to do something in our heart. We want change to come forth in our lives. Give Him praise. Give Him praise.
Come on, capture the moment. I believe Clay talked about it last week. There's a moment in time that you can capture something and it can manifest so intensely. So just capitalize on this moment of releasing your thanksgiving, releasing your praise, releasing the worship of the Father, giving back to Him what He has given to us, the very breath of God, giving back the breath to Him. So just capitalize on this moment. It doesn't have to sound a certain way. It doesn't have to look a certain way. It can be out of your heart at first, but just stir yourself up. Capitalize on the moment.
You know, I've heard it said that, you know, you praise, and as you enter into praise, praise will take you into a spirit of worship. And then it says, when you praise, your offering to the Lord is your praise. You're offering the Lord your praise. But then once you get into that thing of worship, your offering is yourself. It takes you from a thing of praise and offering Him your words, your service, and all that kind of stuff to where you put yourself before Him and worship Him.
We exalt your name, we glorify your name above the heavens. We exalt your name, we glorify your name above the heavens. Waiting for. Your name, glorify your name above the heavens. Yeah, we exalt your name, glorify your name above the heavens. We exalt your name. Glorify your name above the heavens.